like to introduce our main speaker for this evening, Larry M. from San Diego. Welcome, Larry.
Larry Marlin, real alcoholic. Sobriety date, 5/5/85. Grateful to be here. Staying alive in 85. I didn't know what that was about. My home group is the Midnight Howlers on Adams Avenue, which runs 7 nights a week. And anyway, I was born and raised in a oil town in Oklahoma called Bartlesville, Oklahoma. It's the home of Phillips Petroleum Company and City Service Oil Company. And my dad was a building contractor, so I grew up in the construction business. Also the oil fields and the trucking and the cooking. That was the trades that I ended up working at over the years. Anyway, I drank from the age of 13 to 38. I've got two brothers. One just died 2 years ago, younger than me. I got a younger brother yet and a sister, and she's younger. My folks are gone. I still got relatives back there, but anyway, I started drinking with my buddies. I used to hang around the hot rodders and the bikers, and I worked in high school. I was a workaholic. My dad says, if you want motorbikes and cars and all that, you got to work for them yourself, because I got 3 other kids to take care of. So he said, you're also going to buy your own clothes. So I was always working, had something going, you know, mowing lawns or newspaper route or whatever. And then one time, me and my brothers and my cousin and another guy, we went camping down on the creek bank. And this guy shows up with a fifth of whiskey and a fifth of gin. Well, I tried that gin. I didn't like that shit. Smelt too much like a Jennifer bush, you know. And so I drank that whiskey and it. Kind of liked it. We had a campfire going. We put a can of corn on there, and we forgot to give it a little relief. About 5 minutes, we had a bomb. But, you know, that was my first drunk. And after that, I just started, every chance I got, I wanted to fit in, like it says in the book. So I gravitated to people that drank. So at 14, I had me a motor scooter, Cushman Eagle, 56 Cushman Eagle. Then a little later, I got rid of that and got a 47 Cushman. It had been chopped down and had a Whizzer gas tank on it and all kind of shit. Me and my buddies, we were running all over the area partying and stuff. And then I graduated high school. I partied, and one night we went. We lived like 21 miles from Kansas. In Oklahoma, you can drink at 21. In Kansas, you can drink at 18. So we'd get in the car and go to Kansas and party. 21 major curves getting there, and they all banked the wrong way. A lot of people got killed on that road over the years. When I was in high school, a couple of guys I knew run head on got killed. Another couple went over a pond dam. You know, but anyway, we go up there, my buddy, and he borrowed $2 from me. So my brother was there, and this other guy driving the car. The guy driving the car later on, he shot up and killed him that quick one night at a party. But anyway, we were coming back, and we got in a little argument. I got pissed off at him, and us. So I started fighting the car. So the guy pulled over, and we rolled out in the ditch, and I got him down. I was choking him out. My little brother, he kicked me between the eyes, and I wouldn't let go. But when he kicked me in the tailbone, I let go. but that's, you know, resentment right there is resentment. And anyway, I graduated out of high school, and I went off to college 1 year in Pittsburgh, Kansas, and I ended up flunking out there. But I went to ROTC, too, while I was there. And one of the most famous students from that college was Gary Busey. I used to see him up there on the corner playing the guitar and back in my hometown in Tulsa. He was him and a guy named Gaylord Sartain. They had a little program on a TV, and he was in the Heat Hall. The guy wore the white apron and the American Graffiti when he shit himself in the bathroom. That happened to me, too. It happens today, even sober. When you got diabetes, type 2 diabetes and prostate cancer, you're going to deal with some stuff. But anyway, I go off to college, and I flunk out of college. And in the meantime, I'd been working summers at the golf course with my first sponsor, and that old man, he had hired all kinds of drunks, whole families, me and my brothers, my sponsor and his brothers, the other manager, him and his brothers, another guy, and him and his brothers. I got out here, one of them, he was a cop over in Coronado Island. One of my roommates said, "There's a guy over there that knows you." And I went to high school with him and his brother. But anyway, so I graduated, flunked out of college. So I go back home, and that's during the Vietnam era. So one of my old road dog buddies, Shawnee Delaware Indian guy, he come up to me and said, "They got some," he had flunked out of college. He said, "They got some openings out here at the Reserve Center in the cook section." Well, I went out there and signed up, but I didn't get in the cook section. They put me in the commo section. Then I ended up in the artillery section. But anyway, we went off to summer camp that year, and I was always drinking, partying, and they had booze. We always had booze in the duffel bags and stuff. And we're down there, and we're firing in this artillery piece, and it bounced, and it caught my heel, and I couldn't move. My first sponsor's brother just come back from Nam. He grabbed a shovel and saved my foot from getting crushed, because 16 tons of going. So anyway, I partied all the time I was in there, too. You know, one of the guys I knew when I had bought my place, we were Fort Chaffee, Arkansas, and middle of the night, he looks up and hears it raining. He looks out and the stars are shining. He said, "As though we're peeing in the floor." That's just, you know, insanity what happens to us. But anyways, I got hooked up with that. And so I got a job with City Service Oil Company right after that. And went to work seismograph in Mississippi. So they transferred me down to Mississippi. I replaced a guy I knew from high school, and my uncle was working there for that company. And so I started partying down there, you know. So we was out partying one night, a bunch of us. I was hooked up with some guys from the Phillips seismograph crew, because my buddy, one of my old buddies, was on that crew over there. So we were out partying one night. We went to this party. Anyway, a fight broke out, and I ended up in the hospital. I got the sock job. Somebody put a bar of soap in the sock and whacked me good. Here come my uncle and the boss. My old boss, he reminded me of Peter Fonda's dad, the old man. Yeah, Henry Fonda. This guy looked just like him. His name was Gene. He said, Larry, you know, he had an accent. But anyway, I worked for them for a while, and they down there, I was partying a lot. And so one day they come up and said, we're going to transfer you to Western Oklahoma, but in the meantime, you're going to work offshore in Texas, Freeport, Texas. So I go over to Freeport, Texas, and what I had to do is I was company man. All I had to do is sit on my ass and make a report to the state of Texas, because when Texas City blew up back in the 40s, killed a lot of people from dynamite and stuff, and we were using dynamite to drill in the Gulf for seismic. So I go in this restaurant, and I see these guys in there. I said, man, these two guys look familiar. So I started shooting the shit with them. And come to find out, I used to run around with one of them's brother, and I knew the other one from 4-H Club when I was a kid, and I knew his dad was a bricklayer that used to do work for my dad. Well, they had a beach house. So I moved out of the motel and went to the beach house with them guys. The boss said, just get a receipt. Anyway, I was down there for about a month. And I was driving one of them's car one day and wrecked, crashed it a little bit. You know, I didn't total it out, just a fender bender, but, you know. And then it was me and this coon-ass guy were out partying one night, and the cops stopped us. Luckily, we got away from that one. And but anyway, I was working there, and then they sent me over to Clinton, Oklahoma, which is the home of Toby Keith. But I didn't know that at the time, and so I started in that book, Route 66, that restaurant they talk about in there in Clinton, where the museum is. I used to eat breakfast in there. And so I started partying up there, too. And so one day we were up working on the Canadian River, and I'm driving a water truck. And so we drilled down 100 feet, and they put 100 pounds of powder in. And they fired it, and it didn't go off. So they put another 100 pounds of powder in. They fired it, and that other comes sailing out of the ground. I said, that's it. I'm going home. I'm going back home. So I went back to Bartlesville from Clinton. And in the meantime, I'd been transferring around in the military, Army Reserves, and then the National Guard. And so I go back home, and I work a little bit for my dad, and I get a job in a zinc smelter. It's hot, dirty, but a lot of drinking going on there. So I started doing that. And you go to work at 2 o'clock in the morning and get off at 8 and get paid for 8 hours. Well, a lot of them guys get hot. One night, there's a fight. Broke out on 3 different blocks. I was in one of them with this one old boy. This bullshit, you know. Later on, we became friends, and then later on, him and his son got electrocuted underneath a trailer. And that kind of hit me, you know. But, so I went to work there, and I worked there 10.5 years. And I hurt my back. So I got a settlement. They fired me, but I told them, you know, it was a union shop, and I got my job back. And I got my settlement, and I bought me a house up by the Kansas line, 8 miles from the Kansas line. And so I'm working there, and I start working out of the labor union, too, on the side, because you get a short days, you could go work construction. So I started working the labor union. And about a year and a half, they asked me to run for business manager. So I became the business manager for the labor union there in town, too, for six years. I was the youngest business manager in Oklahoma at the age of 24. And that was kind of hairy. But anyway, I worked that, and I worked at that smelter, and finally me and some guys got together, and we're going to build a bar on my place up by the lake. That was building a new lake up there, and we went by to visit this man. And that guy was flunked out of college, the Indian guy. My first sponsor is Full Blood Cherokee. Anyway, we're going to build this bar, and this guy's back. We went to talk to him about borrowing some money, and he says, I'll loan you guys some money, but I want you to go in a water truck. It's an 85-barrel water truck, because he's in the oil business. And he says, we can't get no trucks to show up on time, so we ended up parking our truck right there at the cementing place and following right out to the wells, you know. I was in that business for about 4 or 5 months, and they come and wanted me to get out because it wasn't enough for work, but it messed with my head. I wanted to kill them. Or my crazy thinking was and drinking. And anyway, I got over that and made my amends to them. And anyway, I got laid off there. And so I ended up doing that labor deal. And in 1976, they had a convention in Florida. So I go to the convention. Well, I'm out partying with these other business agents. And I was coming in late to the meetings. This one business manager, his name was Joe Lewis from Tulsa, black guy. He says, Marlon, if you don't start showing up on time, you might end up in some cement boots. And that went in this ear and out that ear. So I went ahead and kept partying. And anyway, I get back to Oklahoma, and then so all of a sudden, all that went away. I got a DWI for celebrating buying that home. I got my first DWI. And my second DWI was celebrating losing that home in 85. But I'm working there, and I get laid off. And we had a wreck. I had a wreck. And me and this other guy, we went to a party to goat roast, and we was going to town to get another keg of beer, and we flipped a Ford pickup in the ditch. And luckily, we walked away from that. But they fired me over that one, so the union wouldn't stick behind me that time. So that went away. Well, I had some buddies that was working on the drilling rigs. So I ended up going to work on the drilling rigs as a roughneck floor hand. I worked on one rig. We had a lady floor hand with me, and her boyfriend worked the derrick. And one of the drillers, he was one of the owners. His name was Holiday, so that ought to tell you something. But we partied and drank and worked hard, but, you know, I remember one night coming to the rig, and there wasn't nobody there on the evening shift. And pretty soon, this one kid comes walking up the road. I said, where's Billy and all of them? They said, oh, we stopped at the bar last night and was headed over through this little town called Avant, where they were from, and they drove by this house and seen the lights on, the color TV on. They tried to get in the house and steal the TV, but they got caught. And it's crazy. A lot of partying there, too, into marijuana and pills and stuff. And started trying some of that stuff later on. And so I worked that for a while, and then I went back to construction for a while, and then about 1985, I got my second DWI, and I was unemployable at that time. And so I had a buddy was I'd been to a couple meetings in 78. The court had sent me to DWI school. But I was sneaking around drinking with a school teacher buddy of mine, another Indian guy. This disease killed him, his mother, and his brother. So anyway, we're out drinking. And anyway, about 85 there, I'm working in this, these guys I went to school with, grade school and high school, they had a garage door company and a solar company to install solar water, hot water. So I went to work for them, and I got laid off, and I had my last drunk. My buddy had been trying to plant a seed with me, the one that was the manager, became the assistant greenskeeper at the golf course, the full-blood Cherokee guy. And he came my first sponsor. I beat feet out of jail that day. I said, "How many of them meetings you go to?" He said, "Oh, I go 7 days a week. That's what works for me." I said, "Well, if he can do it, I can do it." So I got started going to meetings and with him, and I had my license for about 30 days, and they took it away for a year. And then in the process, they was repossessing my house. And I'd said to myself, if there's a God, I need some help. Sure enough, he sent a deputy sheriff after my dumb ass. And then the sheriff says, "You're going to have to go before the county attorney." I said, "Well, that's kind of a conflict of interest since your wife's a county attorney." And they said, "Well, then we're going to put you before the district judge." Well, I just happened to know that district judge. Me and my dad had remodeled his basement in 83, and my uncle was in the program, built the house. I didn't know that at the time until my dad told me. But anyway, that guy told me, he said, "You're going to AA for a year, go to penitentiary for a year. Which one of them you want to do?" I said, "I'll go to them meetings." So I started going to the meetings, and I had to move. My folks lost their place, too, at the same time. We moved over on a lake called Grand Lake in eastern Oklahoma. And so I'm going to meetings, and I got another sponsor because my other sponsor was back home. So when I got this sponsor, he was Italian and half Miami Indian. And I worked my steps with him. And he only had a month of sobriety on me. But I stayed sober. My first two sponsors relapsed, but they came back. My first sponsor got 21 years and died with throat cancer. Now him, the second one, I don't know. He came back for a while, but I don't know if he's still alive or what. But anyway, I'm going to meetings, and I start going to these meetings, and I meet these guys named Joe and Charlie. Black Joe and Charlie Parmley, and then the other Joe that come along later. So I was going to their meetings. And then one day I was I got a job at this lodge cooking, or started out the back sink, washing pots and pans, sheet pans stacked to the ceiling. Biggest lodge in Oklahoma. Called Shangri-La. So I'm washing in pots and pans, and the guy comes. I'm going to meetings when I can, and one day this new chef come on board, and he says, "How long you been in the program?" I said, "What program? You know, you're supposed to keep your anonymity." He said, "I got 35 years, so there was my sounding board at the work." So anyway, I worked there a year, got a vacation, got laid off. So I started drawing a little unemployment, and this guy in the program hired me to help him frame it and do some framing and some roofing. and I started getting sick. I was taking Bufferin's and Pepto Bismol, and I was running to the woods every 5 minutes. Come to find out, I was having the gastric hemorrhage they talk about in the book. I was 4 pints low of blood when I walked into the doctor's office. I went to a meeting on a Thursday night. I'd stayed over at this guy's house for supper, and we went to the meeting. And they said, "You're white as a ghost." I said, "Tom, I ain't got no insurance, but take me to the hospital." So this is in Miami, Oklahoma. So we go over there, and they held me observation overnight. Next morning, I wake up, and they're x-raying me, and I black out into the floor face first. Next thing you know, I got hoses plugged in me everywhere. But, you know, while I was in that hospital, I was trying to 12-step, people. I just, you know, got into service. I became a secretary over there, and then I became a GSR, and then I became a DCM for Northeastern Oklahoma while I was over in that part of the state, Eastern Oklahoma. And so I was healing up. Well, this manager of this recovery place called the House of Hope come ask me if I'd come down there and cook for him. I said, "Yeah, I guess so. I ain't got nothing else to do." They pay you $50 a week. So anyway, I go over there, and I start sponsoring this kid over there, but he was a cousin of my first sponsor, and they had never met each other. But the old cook that I took his place invited me down to his room one day. I was over there, and they kept saying, "Well, his sweat's breaking out on his head," and stuff. Bald-headed guy. He used to drink here in San Diego. Well, what he was doing, he was putting that Listerine in his tea. Sneaky. The cook before him was pouring it through the bread, the alcohol. Anyway, I'm there, it's about 6 months. One day this guy comes in and said, "I recognize you. You run over my dog." He had some coon dogs. I used to drink with his son, and he come by my place one day, and my dog ran out there, and he run over, and the guy says, "I don't want none of that food." But as soon as I put it up there on the counter, he was the first guy there to eat. But then I'm there, and all of a sudden, in comes this guy I used to know from the drilling rigs and back in high school from a little town, one horse town back there. And so we're going to meetings, and so we moved back to my hometown. But in the meantime, one day I'm over in Oklahoma City to a district meeting with some guys, and up walked one of them business managers that I drank with down in Florida. He was the main business manager now in Oklahoma City, and he says, "Yeah, I noticed you're kind of drinking a little heavy," and he just tell me what was going down. He says, "I got religion," and I said, "Well, I'm in AA, but you never know who you're going to run into out there." So I go back to my hometown, and go to meetings, and pretty soon this guy went through there. He come up to me one day. I went to work at this restaurant. I'd worked with these guys over at Shangri-La. They came over there a couple years later and went to work there at this restaurant. And the guy folded up. So anyway, he got out of work, and I got out of work. And he says, "I'm going to California. My dad lives in San Diego." He said, "You want to go?" And I said, "Well, I ain't got nothing else going on here. Winter's coming on. This is in September, coming last August, early September. That's when the weather starts really turning back there." So we throwed our stuff in the back of my 69 Chevy pickup. So here we come, the Grapes of Wrath of 88. We landed in San Diego, and we were staying at his dad's house up in Linda Vista, and on Meadowlark Street. And anyway, we We plugged in on at a neighborhood recovery center on Ostro Street called NRC. Anyway, I started going to meetings there, and then that place moved to Convoy Court, 91. And so I'm going to meetings over there, and this old timer's decided, let's see about starting a midnight meeting for this waitress that worked at Keith's in National City. So we got permission, so we started that little meeting in the back room. There was a roll-up door, and you could cut the smoke with a knife because it was a smoker's meeting. It's still a smoker's meeting if it was outside. But anyway, I started going to meetings, and he got cancer, and he asked me to try to keep that meeting going. So I used to secretary that meeting 7 nights a week for 10 years. So anybody says they can't do that kind of service work, my books are full of shit. Anyway, willing to go to any lengths, you know. But and then I got an apartment, and then I lost the apartment, me and some guys, and then ended up on a couple guys' floor over in City Heights, a guy named Jeep and Mike. And I slept on their floor for about a year and a half in a sleeping bag. And one day the guy was managing, the boy was looking for a manager. And he looked down, he said, "You'd make a good one." So I went over there and talked to the guy, Tony, and next thing you know, I'm the day manager over there, and I moved up 1 foot to a mattress. Then later on, I moved to a bed. But anyway, I was day manager and cook there. And then I, one day, my sponsee, Whitey, the albino guy that hangs with me a lot, he had a little sobriety, and Tony told him, he said, "You got to get a sponsor." So I became his sponsor that day, and he became my boss. And we'd go to that midnight meeting. Then I used to go to Pathfinders, too. I met little Joe over there and a few other people. And I still go to that one off and on. I go to a lot of meetings and work with a lot of drunks, ones that no other people want to work with, some of them. And anyway, I'm managing that place over there, and one day I'm rolling up this one guy. He was drinking Carlo Rossi and hydrocodone, and he had a screwdriver in his back pocket. Well, he started down the stairs, and there's a plaster Paris owl there, and he shoved it down the stairs and broke it. Well, I followed him down the stairs. When I stepped out on the sidewalk, he had that screwdriver. He's going to run me through with it. Somehow I flipped him on the concrete. Well, I broke my ankle in the process. So I went to the hospital the next morning. He went to jail. But I stayed there for quite a while, and then I just started a little handyman business there for a while. And I went to, but when I first got out of here, I went to a little school, Associated Technical College downtown, pre-apprentice plumbing. And anyway, I worked at that for a while. I worked at a plumbing, got in the plumbers union for a while, and then my truck broke down, so that went south. So I got some other vehicle, and I started doing handyman work, and I ended up getting some pretty good clients. And so I got some old trucks and stuff, and anyway, I was living over there in North Park, and one day we lost the apartment, and so I had to move to Encanto. Jewel Johnson had a recovery house down there, and so I moved. The manager helped me get in the place next door, So I started a little sober living. So I stayed down there 17 years, from 89 to about 5 years ago, when I moved to North Park, and I started the same thing over. And I got a lot of people that been in and out, and it's a mind blower sometimes. But, you know, they all try to, two of them try to kill each other last night. But today they were quiet, and I didn't even say nothing to them. I just came home, went to bed last night, and went to the midnight meeting, got up this morning, went to my breakfast meeting, and this afternoon they were just and talking to each other, you know. Higher power working. But, yeah, I go to quite a few meetings. And anyway, I moved over there, and we moved to the midnight meeting a couple of times. It moved from Convoy Court to the San Diego Lano Club for a while, but we got kicked out of there. We were too rowdy, too noisy for them. And what happened was, one night this drunk couple come in there, and the guy that's secretary in the meeting, he was in the back room by the pool tables, and his girlfriend was leading the meeting. I could just see the tape playing in her head. He's back there messing around with her. Pretty soon there's a screaming and a hollering, and then here comes the janitor, Mel. I knew him from that school. He says, "You guys are out of here." And I said, "When's the last time you went to a meeting?" "All I've ever seen you and old Sue is sat there in the back room talking outside your neck. I'm not perfect, but, you know." Anyway, we got kicked out of there, so we went over to Lestat's coffee shop. Somebody had put a sign and said we moved over there, so I went over there. Okay. Went over there and talked to the manager, and the guy that owned the place, and he said, "Yeah, you guys can have your meeting, but you got to start it after the entertainment people leave." So some nights it starts right at 11:59, and other nights it might start at 12:30, but we still try to have a meeting. And other than that, you know, I still go to a lot of meetings. And then one couple years ago, me and Whitey were in a, we were working in an ice plant down in Grantville down there. And in the middle of the night, we're bagging ice, and all of a sudden, these around Halloween, I hear this voice, "Don't move." I look around, and I'm looking down the barrel of a gun. We're getting arm robbed. We thought it was a joke, but it wasn't. It was for real. They pistol whipped him, and the gun went off. And we got through that, but he went on a 14-and-a-half-year run. I stayed sober, but, you know, I've had numerous things. My folks passed away. Then I had a hernia. I was helping a roommate that I got now. We was up in Temecula, Murrieta, helping him move his storage one day on the weekend, on a Saturday. And we was up there, and I woke up Sunday morning, man, my gut was killing me. So I drove up there to the Yorba Linda Medical Center and checked in there, and had major surgery on my stomach. I got a little mesh in there. But I was going to meetings whenever I could, you know. I always go to meetings. I got a set of meetings I go to. Some I jump back and forth. This one of my roommates helped start this meeting. He used to be the taper, but the cancer, liver cancer, killed him. And so we still go to a lot of meetings, and I still work with drunks. I just picked up a new sponsee this morning at Lemon Grove. So, and I know a lot of people in this room that go to some of the meetings I go to. But, you know, and I go to the conventions and whoopee parties and all that, you know. And I got a lot more friends today than I ever had out there drinking. Because I've been run out of Tulsa twice in my life. I ain't never been run out of San Diego. I got sober. yet. There's always them yets out there, you know. I hadn't done this one yet, but anyway. I'm just grateful to be here and glad that you all showed up. And thanks for asking me to share, Sam. Sam and one of my old sponsors, he's a good buddy, he lives up in Reno. So if you're new, get in the middle of the herd.